Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, July 30th. And here we are, AM 1380 WLRM Radio Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, but by no means our only affiliate, thanks to our good friends at the Liberty News Radio Network getting us out of their AM/FM affiliate stations across the country. And tonight, as always, we are simulcasting online to our audience around the world at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. I'm James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller now, and with me to bat cleanup tonight as we wrap up the show in this, our third and final hour. Thanks again goes out to our co-host Keith Alexander for his services during the first hour. And then, of course, to our featured guests of the night, Richard Spencer of AlternativeRight.com and the National Policy Institute for his contributions to the program this evening during the second hour. Don't forget, you can join Richard Spencer and myself in Washington, D.C. I will be giving a speech at the prestigious National Press Club the weekend of September 9th through the 11th. It's coming up right around the corner. We'll be in August, 2 days from now. This is September 9th to the 11th. Please consider joining us there. And you can register tonight at NPI Conferences for the National Policy Institute, npiconferences.com. Eddie Bombardier Miller, welcome to the show tonight, buddy. Good to have you back. I'm shaking the hand of the Bombardier. You can't see it, but I'm telling you true. We're here in the studio tonight. I just shook the man's hand, and I got to come clean to him. I got to confess. You know, Eddie, that my wife and I are members of a very small Southern Baptist church here in Memphis, one of the few Southern Baptist churches that sticks exclusively to the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less. That's what I want out of a church. I don't want to go in there and hear about, you know, five sentences quoted from scriptures and then the rest of it be a browbeaten session about how we should all be good cultural Marxists. The only problem with my church is that it's so small that they don't have a nursery, and we have a 16-month-old baby, and sometimes that doesn't always go hand in hand. So every now and then we go off the reservation, we visit different churches that my wife's friends are members of, and one of them just happens to be Bellevue Baptist Church, who we've been talking about quite a bit over the course of the last month, 2 months on this show. It's the biggest Southern Baptist church in the world. And it's right here in Memphis, and it's just eaten up with this liberal social gospel. And I couldn't gripe about them unless I'd actually been there myself. I don't like to give any reports here unless it's backed up with facts and references, and if at all possible, eyewitness experiences. And so I was back at Bellevue for about the, I don't know, fifth or sixth time this year, last Saturday. And as God is my witness, no embellishment, no exaggeration whatsoever. Now, this is what happened over the course of a one-hour service, Ed. A one-hour service. I walk in, and before the pastor even took to the stage, they bring down this big projection monitor, and they start talking about their Bellevue Loves Memphis missions. And they were so proud, all these uppity, you know, upper middle class white kids that are members of the Bellevue youth group were giving their testimonies about how they served God. And listen, being philanthropic, being charitable, there's no shame in that. But, you know, charity starts at home, right? Amen. The charity starts with your own family. Well, Bellevue Loves Memphis, they were going out. You know, we recently had some floods here a couple of months ago, I guess it was now. Pretty devastating floods. And in all the Bellevue youth group, they were going down to the ghetto, and they were, you know, of course the waters have receded by now. They were mowing the lawns and washing the cars of the downtrodden blacks who are never going to attend a church like Bellevue. And again, no sensationalism, no embellishment whatsoever. You had all these white kids from Bellevue mowing the grass and washing the cars of these urban citizens, if you will, and meanwhile the minorities were sitting on their porch, you know, smoking a cigarette and drinking Orange Crush or Jungle Juice or whatever they drink. And this was something, I tell you, it sounded like your favorite team just won the Super Bowl. I mean, the crowd went wild. I mean, they were yeah, these same kids won't even cut their own grass, as Eddie said. But anyway, after that, it was time for a short, you know, for about $3,000, $4,000, you can join Pastor Steve Gaines, who is the pastor at Bellevue. You can join him in a pilgrimage to the Holy Land to throw some money at God's Chosen. And after that, they got down to the sermon. The first matter that they brought up in the sermon. You know, you would think they would go to, again, scriptures during their sermon, but no. Oh, the shame, the horror. Let us all pray for people who engaged in right-wing politics after what happened in Norway. If any of you in this audience today are members of organizations who espouse right-wing politics, and what they mean by that is if you think the border should be secured, you know, listen, you know, you're all washed up. So, you know, this is, you know, you got to get out of these extremist groups that want to secure the border and think that you know, we should have rule of law, I guess. I don't know. Then they started praying. Amy Winehouse. If anybody's ever heard of Amy Winehouse, she was this 27-year-old Jewish, you know, drugged out rock and roller who passed away from an overdose last week. So after they denounced conservatives, basically, I mean, they said right wing extremists. What they mean by that is conservatives. Conservatives who want to secure the border. Conservatives who are concerned with multiculturalism, and rightly so, cultural Marxism. After they got done denouncing them, they started praying, you know, oh, what kind of world are we in when talent like Amy Winehouse, you know, this drug culture that got Amy Winehouse, let us pray for people like Amy Winehouse, and had a big picture of her on the thing. You know, listen, I'm not for celebrating the death of Amy Winehouse. I mean, that was a tragedy, you know, despite the fact that she probably stood for everything that we stand against. You know, I don't have any joy that she passed away and that she overdosed. But, you know, why is the biggest Southern Baptist church in the world lamenting this passing above all else? And then I got to get this. Eddie's not even going to believe me on this. Where's the program? I got the program here in the studio somewhere. It's around here somewhere. Where did I put it? I had it before the show started. Anyway, come on. I can't find it. But it said, is your religion standing up to the test of a modern-day world? And it had all the, you know, it had there, is your religion. It's not talking about Christianity because, you know, all religions are equal in cultural Marxism. It had a Christian cross, a Star of David, the Muslim crescent, and some wagon wheel. I don't know what religion, you know, has a symbol of a wagon wheel or a ship's, you know, rudder, as they're said. But it's, you know, can your religion stand up to a modern day world? And then after they, you know, browbeat conservatives and lamented Amy Winehouse's passing, they got into the sermon. I wish y'all could see Eddie's face here as I relay this story.
I would have done the same, Ann.
We got to get to Eddie in a second. But at the end of it, you know how they have their altar call? At any good Baptist church, they give the altar call, and they say, if you want to come lay your sins at the foot of the Lord, come forth. And they had people come out of the crowd, and they were wearing signs, you know, taped around their neck, and signs, you know, because the sins are hanging around their necks, and you got to lay these sins at the foot of Christ. And they actually had a couple of legitimate sins, which I was surprised to see. They had adultery, they had idolatry, they had lying, they even have homosexuality. Give that a couple of years, and that'll be gone. But one of the five sins they had up there was racism, and had a black member of the church, one of the three black members there, was wearing the sin of racism around his neck. Of course, he wasn't guilty of it. He was the victim of it. And they had two white girls sitting shoulder to shoulder with him with their backs turned to him because, you know, they were the racists. And, you know, if any racists were in the crowd, they needed to come and lay that sin at the foot of the Lord. And, of course, by racist, they mean, you know, if you're proud to be white or if you think that welfare and affirmative action is wrong. We got to take a break, folks. All that was packed into an hour. We're going to let Eddie comment right after this.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, quickly wrapping this up because I didn't even intend to spend this much time. But folks, we got to tell you what's going on the front lines today. We talk about the cultural Marxism takeover of our institutions, and now obviously it is inflicting the homes of the faith of our fathers, the Christian church. This is a Christian radio program. All the hosts of this show are Christians. We have no quarrels with that. What we have problems with is the perversion of the Christian faith to fit the so-called progressive, liberal, propaganda that we see so much of. So at Bellevue, I just told you everything that happened in the Sunday service, all this in an hour, you know, but they had the guy, you know, they wanted you to renounce the sin of racism. why not just call it hatred? You know, we have no problem. You know, hatred is a sin, blind hatred, irrational hatred from any race to any other race. That's fine. Why not just leave it at hatred? But no, by racism, you know, blacks can never be the perpetrators of racism, only the victims, according to cultural Marxism. And this is obviously an attempt to further browbeat whites. You know, and what is the modern-day definition of a racist? It's a white person. And racism is anything a white person does that liberals don't like. And so, you know, why quit pretending? Why are these churches even pretending? If they take down the cross, if they take down all the pictures of Jesus Christ in this church, put up pictures of Martin Luther King and say, listen, you know, Christianity is no longer our faith anymore. The real faith that Bellevue Baptist Church believes in is political correctness. If they would at least do that and be honest, you know, then I wouldn't have a problem with them. But, you know, sucking people in as if, you know, and there might be 5 minutes of biblical truth they put out in any given sermon that I've been to this year, but the rest of it is just politically correct drivel like this. Eddie, what would you have done if you'd have been in the pews at Bellevue last week, or the stadium seating? They don't have pews there. It looks like an arena because it's built for Bread and Circus. You've done it before. You've done it before at St. Anne's Catholic Church. And what's going on in your church recently before we go on to other issues tonight?
Well, I'll tell you, James, it's not only in the large churches. It breaks my heart what's going on in some of the small churches, namely at the Macon Road Baptist here in Memphis. We have a minister who's getting worse by the week. It seemed like he gets an orgasm every time he sees a mixed couple come into the church, which admittedly we don't have many. And he just overwhelmed. He's obsessed with the so-called Spanish ministry we have here at the Berkeley Church. And by the way, they use that church totally free. You know, the evil blue-eyed devils at the East Campus pay the freight over there, the utility bill and the food and stuff like that. But that's all he can talk about lately is the Spanish ministry. Now, I will give him credit. He's really good on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he's starting to get this Rick Warren, this New Ager who's a member of the Council of Conservatives, Council of Foreign Relations. He's starting to get him in there with all his propaganda. But James, this guy, I'll bet you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this Gaines guy over at Bellevue Baptist, he is a Homeland Security agent because the Homeland Security has enlisted thousands of ministers in the United States to keep track. If someone like me had been over there to do what I would do, and may do it yet, would come up and call him on his lies to point out that being a conservative and a member of a conservative group is not only wrong, that it's a white person should be a member of a conservative group. They keep tabs on people like that. They give him information to Homeland Security. Well, by the way, going back to what we were talking about a minute ago, I experienced something like this back in about 1989, James, at St. Anne Catholic Church here in Bartlett. And, you know, I wasn't a Christian then, but I was going just to keep peace with the family. But it got so bad, it got to be like going to a communist party meeting every Sunday. It did. And so one day, the good priest, by the way, who he didn't have a pot that you know what to urinate in or when to throw it out of, and he came up, he latched on to, you know, the Catholic faith to get a cush job as a priest. I know he used to play football against him. He was starting to glorify Alex Haley, the guy who wrote Roots, I believe is whose name it was, and it went so far as to call him, you know, a royal prince. Well, I suffered through that one Sunday. The next Sunday came right back, same crap about Alex Haley. And then he starts going on this litany about how evil the blue-eyed white devils are. We've mistreated all these blacks. You know, we need to, even though we've been carrying the freight for the Vietnam refugees and the Cuban refugees and the blacks, you know, we need to give more. We should feel guilt. I couldn't take it anymore, James. I stood up in the pew. I won't tell you everything I said because I can't say over the air. But I basically called the priest a lying SOB, in a misinformation propaganda agent. And I told the people in there in the church, I was saying loud, man. I said, you people can stay in here and listen to this blankety blank, but I will never set foot in this church again as long as I live.
It was something like out of a horror movie, their reaction.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything.
I know. And I told them, it's not a church anymore. It's a communist party meeting. That's all the crap it is. And I said, and if you sit in here and listen to this dribble, you're just a bunch of spineless robots. They It's really eerie, James. I thought people would try to throw me out. They would get angry, call me a racist or what have you, or, you know, or a Nazi. They didn't do anything. They didn't even look at me. The priest never even missed a beat. He kept on throwing this dribble out, and I'm looking around as I'm ranting and just raving and foaming at the mouth almost because I was so mad. By the way, I had to walk home because my wife was there and my sister was visiting there, who's, you know, she's a liberal, or, you know, and I knew it was going to be hell to pay when I got home. So I kind of hid out a couple of days. But they never looked at me. I mean, there was nothing. And that even made it worse because I thought, are these people so dead in the head that they can't react to something like this? I mean, hell, I guess I could have brought a flamethrower in there and they wouldn't have moved. But I have never gone back to that church since. And, James, that's what needs to be done at Bellevue. Somebody needs to get the guts.
Yeah, you know, let me just chime in now because you're right. I mean, you know, no one is taking these people to task. And I want to encourage people to do what you did and make a scene, although you certainly didn't do anything illegal by standing up. I mean, you were maybe a little disruptive, but, you know. But they, you know, no one counters this stuff. And what I'm saying is freedom of speech is just that. But when I go to church, you know, I get politically correct propaganda every time I turn on the TV, every time I turn on the radio, unless I'm listening to Liberty News Radio. You know, everywhere I go, everywhere I look, it's there. I don't want it an hour a week on Sunday mornings. That's all I'm asking for. And you know, the interesting thing about Bellevue, the hypocritical thing about Bellevue, is that they used to have their church downtown. Well, they moved from downtown out to Lily White Bartlett, and everybody that goes to Bellevue lives in the suburbs, but yet, you know, there's no contradiction there. Folks, I didn't mean to spend 30 minutes this hour doing it, but talking about it again. We've been revisiting this subject so much, but come on. You know, this is, my goodness, if this is what passes for Christianity these days, Lord, hasten your second coming. You know, there's room for political debate. And I'm not saying I want the preacher. I don't want the preacher to go up there and parrot my political beliefs. I just want him to speak from the Bible. Eddie said he does, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm not expecting that or we're going to be upset. Just a straight scripture. Scriptural. Yeah, don't be anti-white. That's all we ask. All right, one more thing. We got to get off this because I got to tell you about, you know, this goat getting arrested in Nigeria for armed robbery. I mean, we got to get on to something lighter. This is heavy stuff. It makes people's stress go up when we talk like this. You know, they get anxious on the air. We got to give them some comic relief. We got to get to the, you know, any good movie. You know, after the dramatic scene, they give you a little comic relief. We got to get to some comic relief. So here we go.
We don't need any crappy comic relief, folks. Disregard what James said. Now, let me tell you something. I'm a white man. I'm 64 years old, and I grew up in a part of South Memphis that it was pretty good. It was pretty good until I was about 11 years old. And then it went 99% black overnight, and it was worse than living hell. I'd rather be back into Vietnam any day of the week. I had to sleep with a 38 under my pillow. I sleep with a shotgun in the bed. I had to take a different route to school, back to school from school every single day. And folks, I'm gonna finish this story in a second. I promise I won't take it too long.
And then we'll get to some comic relief. Yeah, Eddie said that was comic relief. Stay tuned, everybody.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
We've got 2 weeks worth of news stories to cover. And I intend to spend 5 passing minutes talking about this sermon I heard. It's politically correct cultural Marxist sermon. And then be done with it. But you know, sometimes talk radio takes on a life of its own. We were talking about how one of the 5 sins in adults, you know, they had, you know, 4 of the sins were from the 10 Commandments. And then they had the sin of racism up there. And to illustrate it, it had, you know, a white girl with her back turned to the black guys if she didn't want to date him. Because if you don't want to date black people, if you don't want to have kids with them and marry them, you are a racist. Okay, that's the point that they were trying to get across. And, of course, as Eddie mentioned, he got his PhD in race relations on the mean street of South Memphis, shortly after all the neighborhoods were forcibly integrated in the 60s, you know, Eddie walked to school. And this is a true story. Unlike the
fairy tale stories of racism that blacks in the suburbs have never experienced. Eddie, you know, actually did have attempts on his lives. Now, that's racism. You know, killing people, trying to kill people you've never met because they are a certain color, that's racism. Not wanting to date, having a sexual preference, that is not racism. But anyway, this is what's passing Eddie today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it's sad. It's very sad. Eddie says it's the gospel of Satan. Well, anyway, can we get the comic relief now? Well, he doesn't want to. He wants to, you know... All right.
Yeah, I would have loved him in there at Bellevue, and I'd like to see the black boy right there who had the two white girls with their back turned to him. I would love to go in there and tell him this story. When I was 11 friggin' years old, I had to sleep with a 38 under my pillow and with a shotgun inside in my bed. My little sister, when she was 9 years old, was almost raped by a group of black thugs.
Like Rosa Parks,
yeah. Only this she was 9 years old, and she wasn't able to say, I don't want to do, you know. She couldn't just tell the guy to get away from me because they laughed in her face. But listen, I would like told him, look, chump, racism is when you're 11 and 12 years old and you're scared to death to walk to school 3 to 4 miles through the blackest jungle you've ever seen. And 18, 20-year-olds are trying to kill you. They're throwing bricks at you, bottles at you. They're turning dogs loose on you, for God's sakes. You can't, you know, and I was so scared, James. I didn't realize what it was. I would think I had the flu, some kind of disease coming on because I would start getting, like, feverish flu symptoms. My stomach would just be tore all to pieces about an hour before time to get off out of school to go home. But I realized, finally realized, it was just dread, out of control fear, because I knew I had to walk home through these black animals that tried to kill me every day. Once again, I'm 11 years old, and I have 16, 18, 20-year-olds trying to kill me. I've had dogs turn loose on me. That's racism, boy. And I'd be saying to the guy in Bellevue Baptist, that's racism. What you're doing right here is a farce. It's a bunch of propaganda, just anti-white guilt.
Now, that sounds...
Now, let's get to the hardcore stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, again, that is a true story. You know, again, turning someone down on a date, that's their big, you know, example of what racism is. Going to take a quick call. Again, you know, trying to get through the show is never easy, but we appreciate our listeners. We value our callers. We're going to go quickly to Sarah in Texas who has a question. Sarah, you're on the line.
Hello. This is a first-time caller, second-time listener, and I kind of just randomly came up again today, and is racism a sin? That was the topic. I heard the other previous discussion. I thought it was excellent.
Right.
I can't remember his name, but apparently you've had him on before.
Yes.
Yes. But I have a question, and I don't know even know why it's a question, but it's so frustrating. Are Jews a race? Are they white if they're a race? And if racism is a sin, in my opinion, the most racist country in the world is Israel, and the most racist people are Jews. And if whites are stigmatized with this most racist category, and Jews are whites, then that's probably true.
That is one of the
recently,
most... Let me tell you, Sarah, let me interrupt you. Yeah, I've been hosting this show for 7 years, and let me first say, by the way, that after 7 years, it is still an honor that we're able to attract new listeners each and every week. I know you mentioned this is the second time you've ever listened to the show. Eddie, I know you don't have your headset on, so I'll relay the question Sarah asked, talking about, you know, what is racism? First of all, she asked, are Jews their own race, or are they part of the white race? And if they are part of the white race, you know, is there a more glaring example of racism than the apartheid state of Israel? Then why are we always guilted into it and they're always absolved from the racism? I think that's her question in a nutshell. And thank you so much, Sarah, for the answer. Eddie, you know, a lot of people in paleoconservative politics differ on their opinion on whether or not I know Keith Alexander, for instance, a member of this hosting staff, certainly counts Jews as a member of the white population. My jury's out. I don't know if it really matters whether they are or aren't. I mean, they certainly, I don't think they consider themselves to be part of the white population. I mean, if you look at their attacks on you know, white Christian Gentiles over the years, that's certainly not how a brother would treat a brother. Although, you know, you look at Bellevue, and these are white Southerners, and they hate themselves. So I don't know. That's a very interesting question by Sarah, and I hope she will remain a long-term listener for years to come. But, Eddie, can you break that down real quick? Just your opinion.
I like to chime in. First of all, I'm of the opinion that there's no such thing as a pure Jew, because I'll tell you, if you go back to your Bible and King James Version, what I read, if you go to when the Jericho was stormed, there was a Gentile prostitute there. Her name was it Rahab, I believe was her name. Okay, well, she was saved by the Israelites because she helped the two spies that came in there, if you remember. Okay, well, after Jericho was destroyed and everything, well, the Israelites saved Rahab and her whole family. Well, Rahab, the Gentile prostitute, wound up marrying who? Salmon, a Jew, an Israelite. Okay, well, Salmon and Rahab had a kid by the name of Boaz. Okay, Boaz married another Gentile. Okay, this is a half. See, Boaz only half Jew. Boaz married another full-blooded Gentile by the name of Ruth. Okay, well, Ruth and Boaz had a child by the name of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of, you remember who, James?
David,
father of David. David, the king of the line of Judah, the bloodline of Jesus Christ Almighty. Okay, so there you go right there. The bloodline, the human bloodline of Jesus Christ is polluted already. They're mixed up with Gentile. The father of Jesus Christ was God Almighty, who's not a human. So, no, there's no such thing as a pure-blooded Jew. Now, the Jews that are against, that are causing all the ruckus, that are putting all the filth out of Hollywood and controlling all the pornography, they are, for King James Bible, not Eddie Miller saying this, they are of the they're the Jewish line of the synagogue of Satan.
Okay.
So I hope that answers your question.
Well, I'm still online?
Yes, you're still on, sir.
Oh, okay. Yes, it did. It certainly helped. That's kind of what I think, but I really have no idea. And I'm just sick of good white people being castigated the whole slavery issue. I've just begun to study, and most of the slave owners in the South and the North were Jewish, and even Khazaria, whom greater than 90% of the so-called Jews who claim right to Palestine, they had slavery, apparently. You know, we're talking, 600 to 900 or so after Christ, A.D.?
Right.
Because
well, listen, Sarah, let me tell you something, and then we got to move on to something else. This is, you know, the question you ask
is such an in-depth. I hope I wasn't offensive. I haven't listened to you enough to know that this would be an offensive question, but...
No, it is. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to repose your question next week. So you got to be sure to tune in next week. We're going to pose it to the political cesspool's resident historian, Keith Alexander, because I'm telling you, you know, Eddie Miller certainly has an interesting answer to your question. And a lot of people on the paleoconservative right are split on this issue. My big thing is, you know, regardless of what they are, the Zionists in charge of a lot of our
everything.
Institutional apparatus are certainly anti-white and certainly anti-American, and I'll deal with them on that level in the court of public opinion. But we will answer this question in more depth next week because it is very important.
Good.
But as far as racism goes and slavery, you know, another very in-depth question. As we've said before, you know, the you know, slavery is not an exclusively black institution. You look at whites throughout Europe who were always enslaved, the Gauls and the Franks, you know, enslaved by the Romans. If they were lucky, normally they were just put to death wherever they stood. I mean, whites have been enslaved. You know, the word slave comes from the Slavs, the slaves who were Slavic. And even in Africa, the blacks who were sold onto the ships and who were brought to America, number one, they were the most lucky of all slaves, because they were, you know, they inherited Christian salvation and affirmative action and welfare and this, that, and the other. They were sold into slavery by other blacks. Another complex question, Sarah. You're opening up a lot of can of worms. We've got to take a break. So thanks for calling. We'll talk more about it next week. And for the rest of you, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, final segment of the program tonight. We will go ahead and ask you to be sure to tune in next week for another live installment of the Political Cesspool Radio program. You know, this is a night we needed 6 hours, not three. If we had 6 hours tonight, we still wouldn't cover the logjam of stories that we have to bring to your attention. But there is one in the name of comic relief, and I'm not making this up. I mean, it's a funny story, but I'm not making this up. And Eddie, despite being a co-host of this show, has not been to the website in the last couple of days to read the story. Now, what's up with that? You're a co-host, and yet you're not keeping up with the blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You know, I don't know what to make of that. Oh, his computer crashed. Okay, that's fine. All right, here we go. This story out of Africa, in Nigeria, and this is a good example of the difference between, you know, detective work in European countries and in Africa. This story was reported by the London Daily Mail. Police in Nigeria are holding a goat on suspicion of attempted armed robbery. Policemen seized the black and white goat, saying it was an armed robber who had used black magic to transform himself into an animal to escape after trying to steal a Mazda. All right, eyewitnesses came to the police station to report that while they were on patrol, they saw some hoodlums attempting to rob a car. So they pursued them. However, one of them escaped while the other turned into a goat, state police spokesman said. The goat is now in our custody. Police belief in witchcraft is widespread in parts of Nigeria, which is Africa's most populous nation. Citizens in the town came to the police station to see the goat, photographed in one national newspaper on its knees next to a pile of straw. And we got a picture of the robbery suspect for you. Ed, I'm going to let you watch this video. This is the robbery suspect.
We just committed a hate crime by belittling these African detectives, James.
Yes, but do we
what
got a
brother games do?
We got a video of the goat eating some straw. The goat that, you know, he was a guy before he turned into a goat, of course, according to African police. You know, folks, you can't make this stuff up. This is, you know, again, if you listen to the dictates, the false gods of political correctness and cultural Marxism, you know, this kind of police work, this kind of thought process is equal to or greater than Western culture and Western tradition.
It's racist
Now, we do have an unconfirmed report. Everything that I just mentioned to you was reported on by the newspapers. This is an unconfirmed report from a political cesspool listener who writes that the goat in question has been freed on newly discovered hoof print evidence. The goat's attorney filed charges in response to racial profiling and is accusing detectives of racism against goats. So, I don't know, you know... One more look at the robbery suspect in this case.
Man, now we need to get him in a Bellevue Baptist.
And do an exorcism on him, James.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll tell you, you know, we deal with a lot of disturbing topics in this show each week, so you got to have something like that. And, folks, again, it's truth. Truth is stranger than fiction. Eddie, we got to go now to a caller on the line. It just happens to be one of our correspondents and good friends. Peter Scoop Stanton. Scoop is on the line. I'll let you say hello to him real quick, Ed.
Well, hey, Pete, what do you think about the goat story, son?
Well, I think the ACLU filed a friend of the court brief on behalf of the goat for racial profiling. I'm sure his constitutional rights in that country were probably violated.
You know, how much longer as America continues to devolve and as we become increasingly so-called multiculturalism, you know, when your population reflects that of a third world, you will begin to transform into a third world country with third world beliefs and third world practices. How many more years into the future will it be before we, you know, American police here in this country, police here in America believe that, you know, people can turn into goats? You know, Eddie says in Louisiana, they probably already believe it. In the Bahia, right. In the voodoo country. All right. Anyway, Pete, you're talking about racism on the air, and you've got a prime example of it, and he's employed by MSNBC, the newest MSNBC member of the television hosting staff there. What's going on, Scoop?
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, MSNBC decided to hire Alfred Charles Sharpton, also commonly known as Reverend Al Sharpton, as their hosting staff. As you know, MSNBC stands for Morons Say Nothing But Crap. But anyways, Al Sharpton made a name for himself. But if you remember a couple months back, James, I think it was about a year ago, Rachel Maddow, who's on the has a Rachel Maddow show, she went that crazy over the fact mentioning the political cesspool and cash football, and she's waving her. She said, citing crazy racial nonsense equals crazy racial nonsense. Then she's waving her arms and saying, and then like. When she mentions crazy racial nonsense, she says she gets an email saying Maddow's a dirty Jew and
yes.
Apple letters misspelled and all sorts of nonsense.
Yeah, we were actually mentioned in that tirade by Rachel in that episode.
Yep, and then you, Mr. Edwards, challenged Rachel Maddow for a debate anytime, any place, but she ignored your request. I guess she was too busy stalking U.S. Senate candidate Christine O'Donnell in Delaware. Wanted actually nothing to do with Maddow and her staff fearing unfair coverage. But since you were so eager to have a one-on-one with her, you had a substitute, Rachel Maddow, and you posted on YouTube, which is very, very funny. But I better watch what I say because I'm afraid, you know, Rachel Maddow being, you know, a real tough guy, he might beat the hell out of me.
Yeah, you know, she very well might. And since this is a family show, we don't want to provoke her, but you know, and if she didn't, her husband, you know, the lesbian woman that she's married to, would certainly do it. I tell you, she looks like a sumo wrestler with a bad disposition. But anyway, yeah, you're right. So you know, Rachel Maddow has attacked this show, the Council of Conservatives, basically anybody, Pat Buchanan, anybody that's a decent, God-fearing conservative, she's attacked and denounced as a racist and blah, 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 blah. Yet her own network hires a guy who has made money. He makes his life's work, you know, anti-white racism, and he is their newest host. And that is, of course, Reverend Al Sharpton. And Scoop, you know, somehow this slipped through the cracks. I can't keep up with everything. I did not know that our buddy Al, who we went toe-to-toe with here in Memphis in the defense of Nathan Bedford Forest Park here in town, we ran him off. You know, law and order every time. We did it the right way. But nevertheless, it was the first time that he had ever canceled a proposed march, and we were able to stop that and protect the noble general in doing so. But long story short, Reverend Al, the newest member of the television hosting staff of MSNBC, no contradiction, no double standard there, right, Scoop?
No, and I could go over real quickly the resume of Reverend Sharpton.
Hit me with it.
Okay, 1987, Sharpton participated in a poach. Participated in a hoax of a rape and assault at Tawana Brawley. Sharpton and two associates accused white police officer and the district attorney of Dutchess County, New York, of the crime that did not happen. And he accused New York Attorney General Robert Abrams of masturbating to a picture of Brawley on national television. 1991, he fanned the flames during a riot in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, which started when a Jewish driver hit a little black child who was crossing the street. And instead of telling people to calm down, he cited Jewish derogatory terms, saying, calling them Hasidic diamond merchants and, you know, put out your yarmulke on, let's go. 1995, he spoke of white interlopers shortly before a man set fire to a building killing seven innocent people. The so-called white interloper owned a building which housed businesses that employed black people up in Harlem and generated revenue to the city and provided good or services to the people of Harlem. 1999 was his epiphany. It was his apex. This was his money shot. Four unarmed New York Police Department members who are white shot an unarmed, innocent black man who they thought they was going for his wallet. Al Sharpton tried like hell to start a race war in the city of New York between the blacks and the whites. However, he was foiled by Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. And then if in 2003, two black detectives for the New York Police Department was going after a guy selling illegal guns on the street. They want to put this guy behind bars. This animal shot and killed these two detectives in the housing project in Staten Island, New York. The two detectives were black. The man that did the shooting was black. Al Sharpton was nowhere to be seen. He was not at a funeral. He did not condemn the violence. He said absolutely nothing. But Al Sharpton makes a living fanning the racial flames in the city of New York and around the country, promoting racial hatred, even though there might be no racial overtones. Al Sharpton, for his 50th birthday, received either bought a Rolls Royce or received a Rolls Royce from his family. I don't drive a Rolls Royce. I drive a Chevrolet Monte Carlo. And also, Al Sharpton wears tailored suits. I wear 14-year-old Allman Brothers Band concert shirts.
Hey, Scoop, I hear music. I don't know if you're done, but I surely enjoyed your commentary. Listen, next week, let's get you on for the last half hour. We can finish up on this, and we can cover some new ground, because I always enjoy your reports. And God bless you, buddy, for your contribution.
All right, same here, James.
Hey, good night, everybody. On behalf of the staff here in Memphis and in Utah, this is the Political Cesspool Radio Program signing off. We'll see you next week.